This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Here we are with an all-new episode of Dirtcast. I am your co-host, Madeline Davies.
I'm your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
And today we are talking to Jo Livingstone. She is the culture staff writer at The New Republic, and she is here to talk about the C word and its place in pop culture.
Mm-hmm. I have just found out the most amazing thing, which is that the street used to be called Grope Cunt Lane.
And right now, I want to find out how Megan's weekend was.
Oh, my God.
She got some sun. That's what
I
can see.
Oh, fuck. I know. My weekend was good. I went to a Yankee game with my papa and my sister. Then I went to the beach. I did acquire a light, sort of a base pink that I do not think will peel, but we'll see.
Sounds like a very,
it was very active.
Summery weekend.
It was a summery weekend. It was a very active weekend. It was a little more active than I would have enjoyed personally. That is neither here nor there. How was your weekend?
I went to a wedding in Oklahoma City.
Beautiful Oklahoma City.
It also was in the mid-90s and humid, which
yes.
was nice.
Was it outdoors?
It was outdoors.
Fuck, that's so rude.
To their credit, the ceremony was only 10 minutes long.
That's what you have to do when it's hot as balls.
And then the reception was inside.
Inside.
It was interesting because it was a group of people who I don't know at all.
Even better?
It was a high school friend of my partner.
Oh, nice.
And so I was very much just like there as like an emotional support animal.
Yes, like, hello.
Like basically like had a vest that said like, do not touch me, I'm working.
Right. Just like drinking a glass of wine the whole time. Like, yep, I'm still here.
Yeah, I got very drunk.
As you do, as one does at a wedding.
It was very funny because we were sharing a hotel room with another friend. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, we just like one by one went into the bathroom and had our moment.
Just as a situation, just a quiet moment alone.
Which like I haven't been there in a while. I haven't had that bad of a hangover in such a long time. So good wedding. We ended up having a very good time. And also, the one gossipy thing I'll say
yes.
is that Tinsley Mortimer's ex-boyfriend, who has a restraining order against her, was a fellow guest at this wedding.
Really?
That's all. That's the morsel I got.
That is a tiny speck of dirt.
I would say it's a big old stain. And I saw the Countess Luann's son, Noel, on the train this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
You've had quite the 72 hours for you.
Of Bravo Lebrities.
Bravo Lebrities. You went to Oklahoma City.
You puked.
You puked. We talked about it. Other stuff happened. You know what I think is a fun thing to talk about that I love to talk about every week without fail?
The dirtiest dirt.
Dirtiest fucking dirt. Okay, this top item, Pete Davidson of Saturday Night Live and Ariana Grande of The Ponytail.
Oh, yes.
they're engaged.
Have they confirmed it?
Yes. Because when I was putting this together, there was like an Instagram of his hand and her hand and that like ginormous, like
a big fucking ass ring.
Huge ring. So it's like confirmed.
Seems like a wise decision after dating for 1 month.
Here is the timeline. They have been publicly dating for 1 month, as Maddie just said. They've been engaged since like the middle to end of last week. Pete was dating for a long time Cassie David, who is the daughter of Larry.
That one.
The man who makes you uncomfortable when you watch his television show. apparently, per TMZ, I read this morning, Pete and Ariana got together when he and Kaz were on a break.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. Just like sit with that for a sec. That's rough.
I don't know. Maybe.
Right?
I think it is rough.
Okay.
I just think I don't know any of these people personally.
Same.
I'm just saying, shooting from the gut, I think that Kazzy is going to come out of this on top.
Yeah.
I think like she's the one who's going to be better off from all of this.
Probably. I mean, there have been many, I've seen many things flying around after this news was announced, because it really is just sort of a breakneck pace that this relationship seems to have been progressing at.
Yeah.
And, you know, one take that I saw, I think it was written by Estelle Tang at Elle.com, was like, when have you ever been so sure of something that you, like, knew? It was a very optimistic take, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, maybe they're just, like, very sure of this. Maybe it'll be fine. Maybe they're both suited for each other. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into a corner.
Do you want to bet money on it now?
Yes, I will bet money on this. I'll bet you $5 and a pack of gum. It's my standard bet.
Bet what's the terms?
I think it's tricky because it's like, do we want to bet on like whether or not they actually will get married?
I think—
Because they just got engaged, you know?
I think they will be broken up in a year.
You think it will just be said and done in one calendar year?
Maybe they'll get married very quickly.
Okay.
And then they'll have to divorce within that year.
Okay.
Or maybe they will break up before any wedding ever happens. But either way, deadline is 1 year.
Okay. And I will bet that they will make it past a year.
On this day in 2019.
Today we are recording on a Monday. That is June 18th. On this day in 2019. Wherever we may be.
God, imagine having two fucking morons.
Yeah.
On a podcast debating whether or not your relationship is going to last more than a year.
That's what it's like to be famous. This is what they fucking signed up for.
I'm not. Look,
sorry,
girl.
It's a terrible thing.
I'm just saying, it's a funny perspective.
It is.
To be
it
like,
is.
Oh, these two dumb fucks who don't know anything about us
right.
are betting money and chewing gum.
Always the
on
gum.
Our future.
Because everyone always wants gum. Deal right. or no deal?
No, deal.
Deal. So,
speaking of love, Jay-Z and Beyonce dropped a new album called Everything Is Love.
Happily in love.
Haters, please forgive me. I let my wife write the will. I pray my children outlive me.
I give my daughter my custom dresses. She gonna be litty. Vintage pieces by the time she hit the city, yeah.
I actually have not had a chance really to listen to it yet.
I've listened to, well, it dropped on like Saturday at like 4:30 or something.
Yes.
Like a very, and it was only on Tidal. I heard about it. I was at a barbecue. Someone who was coming to the barbecue said, Beyonce and Jay-Z dropped an album, and I have a Tidal account. Like, I'll be there in, like, a half an hour. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And the person arrived, and they put the music. I couldn't hear anything because I was at a BBQ.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
And your ears were stuffed with hot dogs.
My ears were stuffed with hot dogs. I was gossiping, you know.
I saw the video, the Louvre one.
Ape shit.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Philippe dick. Get off my dick. Give me the ball, give me the ball. Take a top shift. Call my girls and put them all on a spaceship. Hang one night when y'all say I'll make you famous. Hey. Have you ever seen the stage going ape shit?
It's like kind of all of this like white Eurocentric art mm-hmm. with this like these displays of like proud black excellence
yes.
in front of it.
It's very good. Two of the three Migos are on it. I believe it is Quavo and Offset.
It's nice.
Yeah, nice for them. I listened to half the outlet. I listened to maybe like three or four songs before we got to the studio. There's a cute shout out from Blue,
yeah.
who is like, I suppose, an adult now. She's like 5 or 6.
She's an adult.
Basically, she's probably more grown than I am, if we're going to be honest.
Sure. I mean, you can. I'll let you say that about yourself.
Thanks, Maddie. She shouts out her siblings, the twins.
That's cute.
Rumi and Sir.
Shout out to Rumi and Sir. Love, Blue.
I just think that Blue Ivy's real cute.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The woman who everybody wants to be friends with, Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
Had a very funny article in The Hollywood Reporter that had like a beautiful photo spread. I've never seen them do like photos that pretty.
Yeah, no, she looked, it looked like an old, like an old school Vanity Fair shot. Like it was very nice.
It was like all like pastels mm-hmm. and kind of like heightened saturation.
Yeah, like very ethereal, very sort of fairy tale vibe.
But she told this very amazing anecdote about Leonardo DiCaprio, who, as listeners of the show will know, I adore.
She does.
Tiffany Haddish tells this story about meeting Leo. And she says, yeah, I met him at a party 2-3 months ago, and I asked him if he'd let me hit that, she begins. He's like, Tiffany, you're so funny. I'm like, I'm serious. And then he goes, I mean, I'd do it, but... I was like, come on, wasn't you in a squad, the Coochie Squad or something? And then there's an editor's note. DiCaprio was famously a member of the Pussy Posse with pals Tobey Maguire and Kevin Connolly.
The Coochie Squad is so good.
And then she just kept going where she said, I told them my only stipulation, I want to do it with you as your character in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He starts busting up laughing. Why, he asks. And I say, because I feel like that performance deserves a real reward, and that reward is this. And then she gestured at her own body. He starts going into how he got that role, how he worked with these kids and all this stuff. And I'm just like listening and listening, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And finally go, all that is good. I just need to know, when is this going to happen?
That is amazing. I like felt that like in my soul, that story. That was really nice.
It's just like, she's just so on all the time. She's so funny. You deserved an award for that movie, and that award is my body.
That's so good.
I love that he tries to, like, talk about, like, his craft.
Yeah, he's like, well, like, I actually, like, whatever. She's like, no. I'm just trying to fuck. Like, yes or no. I'm on a time limit here. I've got a schedule it's to amazing. Adhere to.
He's like, no, I got to go ride a city bike.
I have to vape and ride a city bike in a bucket hat.
That's why he's my prince. And she also even talked about, like, an encounter with Roseanne that happened several years ago.
Oh my God.
Roseanne, who we'll talk about a little later in the app more in depth, unfortunately. She was visiting a friend in El Segundo, which is a coastal California town near LAX.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
I'm just quoting.
Okay.
And she was visiting her friend there. And one day she was walking around and she saw Roseanne.
Mm.
And Haddish says, now I loved Roseanne. And the next day we walked by and she was in her yard. I say, hi, Roseanne. She looks at me. And then Tiffany Haddish made a disgusted face to imitate what Roseanne did.
Mm.
And then ran into the house. I thought, maybe she doesn't want to be bothered today. A week later, we walked by again and I told Anna, that's her friend,
mm-hmm.
she's Hispanic, but she looks white.
Mm.
She should say hi this time. Mm-hmm. So she says, hi, Roseanne. And Roseanne goes, hey.
Ooh.
I thought maybe she got to know us. Then I go back like a week later and I wave again and I say, hi, Roseanne, I love your comedy.
Ooh.
And she makes the same disgusted face and turns her head. I think, fuck that bitch. That was 2000, maybe 2001. So
yikes.
It's not new. She's been racist.
Yeah, dude.
Why'd you all give her a TV show?
You know what, Tiffany, when you're right, you're right. Okay. Here's a picture I saw recently of Jonah Hill that I just like to talk about for 2 to 3 minutes.
2 to 3. Wow. He looks like a different person.
Right?
So this picture of Jonah
Hill. Walk us through it.
He, one, is like very, very thin.
Yeah.
He has a new tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell it's new because his arm around it is shaved.
Mm-hmm.
It is of a skull in a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm. It's in color.
And his
hair. It's a forearm tattoo also.
Is dyed hot pink.
Yep. He also has a tattoo underneath but it's for his sister. It says Hello Beanie. In the Hello Dolly font, which
That's
is cute.
Cute.
I like that. This picture stressed me out so much when I saw it on Friday that I texted it to Jezebel's very own deputy editor, Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, with the word help, because that is how I felt when I looked at it. Jonah Hill is going through some sort of like awful, like hype beast bi-coastal transformation.
I mean, he's it's one been of many white male celebrities who are in that right now.
Who's like embarking on this very specific, like sartorial and like cultural journey.
Right. Like Bieber looks insane right now.
Oh, Bieber looks fucking bonkers.
Yeah. And then it's like Post Malone just got like a face tattoo.
Goodbye to him.
I just think like there are these like white boys who are on these weird
journeys.
Weird journeys.
I wonder to what end.
To the end where you have a lot of face tattoos.
Yeah. Okay. That picture of Jonah Hill really, I have no other context for it except that he was somewhere. He looks like that now.
Can I admit something? I don't think he looks bad.
You want to move on to the last item?
Yeah, the last one is depressing.
So we'll stop being funny.
Chloe Dykstra, who is an actress and sort of, she's very like famous in the cosplay community.
Okay, that's ringing.
She's a model and actress.
Okay.
She dated Chris Hardwick for a few years.
Okay.
She wrote an essay for Medium late last week where she detailed emotional and sexual abuse long-term by her partner. And she doesn't ever name Hardwick, but she describes Hardwick.
Right.
A successful podcaster who she supported as he went from like mildly successful to head of his own media company.
Right.
Like, it is Chris Hardwick, but
she just doesn't say Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised with how sad the piece made me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've actually talked about this on Dirtcast before,
mm-hmm.
where he's always given me like creep vibes
mm-hmm.
because he's like such an aggressive, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so her essay was titled Rose Colored Glasses, A Confession.
Mm.
And she named it after a BoJack Horseman line.
Okay.
Which actually is very apt.
You know, it's funny. When you look at someone through rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags.
So she says, in their relationship, she says, I was terrified to piss him off, so I did what he said, including letting him sexually assault me regularly. I was expected to be ready for him when he came home. How did this happen? At the beginning of our relationship, I was quite ill, often due to my diet, something I'll get into a bit. One night he initiated and I said, I'm sorry, can we not tonight? I'm feeling really sick. He responded, I just want to remind you, the reason my last relationship didn't work out was because of lack of sex.
Oof.
It was a veiled threat. I succumbed. Every night I'd laid there for him, occasionally in tears. He called it starfishing. He thought the whole thing was funny. To be fair, I did go along with it out of fear of losing him. I'm still recovering from being sexually used, not in a super fun way, for 3 years. Another story, she says, is I lost my period for a year because of anorexia. Somehow I got pregnant ectopically, which I don't know if people don't know what an ectopic pregnancy is.
God, it's awful.
It means a fertilized egg implants outside of the uterus.
Oof.
And it basically, the baby cannot survive, period. And if untreated, it can kill the mother.
Yeah.
When I found out, I collapsed on the floor, terrified he'd be furious with me. Between sobs, I told them on the phone, please don't be mad and don't worry. I have to have surgery to have it removed or it could kill me at any time. My fear of his anger at me for getting pregnant was literally greater than my fear of death. Let me add here, I'll never forget the night this man slept in a cot at the foot of my hospital bed after my surgery. It made me believe that deep down inside him, maybe there was a man who loved me.
Mm.
Then, after my recovery, he and my mother were greeted by the doctor. The surgery went well, she'll be fine, said my doctor. Thank God, said my mother. That's great. When do you think I can have sex with her again, said my ex. It was his first question. My mother never forgot. She goes into detail that, like, once she finally left him, quote, he made calls to several companies I received regular work from to get me fired by threatening to never work with them. He succeeded. I was blacklisted. With the assistance of a woman who gained my trust and heart over the past year, he steamrolled my career.
Good guy.
She later says of why she hadn't spoken out yet, which again is an insane question that women are still expected to answer.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I knew it was unlikely people would choose to believe me over a cheery sounding famous guy.
Yeah.
All it would do to properly come forward was hurt me. And guess what? It'll probably hurt me now despite the Me Too movement. We've come a long way, but we still have a ways to go.
Well, that is true. That's really fucked up.
I actually reached out to Chris Hardwick's publicist and never got anything back.
No, I'm not surprised.
The Nerdist podcast network, which mm-hmm. is what he founded.
Gotcha.
Has removed all mention of his name from the website.
Oh, wow.
And then also he hosts a talk show called Talking Dead, which is like a post-talk.
Oh, right. The post-Walking Dead, like, recap show.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has been suspended.
Yikes.
It's sad to be like, I'm impressed that these places have, like, acted so swiftly.
Yeah.
But it's just like, this girl's story is so sad. And I don't mean this in, like, a gloaty, like, I knew it way.
Yeah.
But it always really weirded me out. Because I listened to The Nerdist when it first started.
Gotcha.
And he talked about his girlfriend all the time, his, like, long-term girlfriend.
The one that was not her.
Yeah. He talked about her frequently. Very suddenly, they seemed to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started dating this girl who's 20 years younger than him. And it's sort of this, like, hot Comic-Con girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They met at a convention.
Gotcha.
And that just kind of, like, was strange to me that, like as
that
he
dynamic.
Started to get more successful, he just, like, was, like,
age down.
Yeah, just like, bye, and then, like, started dating this girl. And then after they broke up, within, like, a few weeks, he started dating Lydia Hurst, who is a Hurst.
Oh.
And looks exactly like Chloe Dykstra.
Ew.
Like, they both have sort of, like, Morticia-esque long red hair.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can see, yeah, yeah.
And they got married, like, immediately. Whoa. There just was always something so weird about that to me.
Yeah.
It just, like, makes me sad.
It's very sad.
And I just want to say to Chloe, you got a believer in me.
Yeah. It's a mess, this whole. Here we are. This will be ongoing for forever, I suppose. Until they're all outed. I don't know.
I mean, no. People are always going to be abusive.
I know.
Assholes.
People are always going to be terrible.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for its sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
We are so privileged to be sitting here with Joe Livingstone, culture staff writer at The New Republic. We are going to be talking about I guess it's controversial.
The C word.
The C, but we can just
can
say
I say it?
Yes. Please.
Cunt.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it sounds a lot better when you say it.
Thank you. I love to say it.
It's a great word. It has been in the news as of late.
Yeah, I mean, so I feel like there's kind of this history as we enter the new millennia. People, you know, like, more and more we like to have, like, our celebrities be, like, real people. But then they end up saying things that we don't like.
Right.
And then it's sort of like what happens afterwards tends to be an uprising of anger. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that's met with their show being canceled or their careers being canceled. and other times it's just like met with like a lukewarm apology.
Right.
I also really like the word cunt.
Mm-hmm.
I just think like it more describes like what a vagina is than like the word pussy. Or that type of thing. Like, I feel like cunt is, like, a very tough word.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, a cunt, like, can bring a human into the world, like a pussy, I don't know.
Right, it's powerful, it's very, like, heavy, kind of comes out with a thud and that plosive T. And the thing about pussy, I actually wrote another article about pussy, like, last year, I think when we were coming to grips with the whole, like, concept of the pussy hat. The thing about pussy is that it becomes, like, grammatically becomes, like, a substance. I think I wrote that it was like flower or sheep, you know, like talk about like a room full of pussy or something. That it's not like
it's not like
individual
a discrete
noun.
Thing.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. It's like a quantity.
Right.
Like how much pussy is there?
Right. Like how much pussy is in this room?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Blank.
How much of a pussy are you? Right. Mm. It's a very strange thing, which I don't think that it doesn't behave grammatically the same way that cunt does.
Yeah, right.
Which is just, you know, there's only one.
Yeah.
True. Right. It's just the one.
And I'm like the top cunt.
Right. I am the cunt.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think also just like as a cunt, I feel very okay. And you like, I mean, when you talk about linguistics, you talk about it from like a very educated background.
I didn't. I mean, yeah, I have some. I used to be an academic and I've got some academic background in it. But also, I'm just from London, where just like every other word, you know, like, oh, good morning, cunt. Just like everyone's just constantly calling each other cunt in the most affectionate possible way.
I love that.
It's a very different usage. Of course, it's gendered in a sense, but it's not something that you would say in anger to a woman.
Right.
You know, as an insult. You wouldn't hurl it as an insult.
You
right.
might, but that is not its predominant usage, right?
Right.
And I kind of tried to get my head around this in the article. There's no real simple explanation as to why things are different here than they are in the UK. Mm-hmm. It's just a case of like usage developing over time.
Right.
There's no secret to it, but it is quite funny as like a British person to be here, especially with other Brits sometimes in a bar, just to like say the word cunt really loudly and people get a bit like a bit fidgety, a bit like twitchy in the eye.
Kind of like uncomfortable, but they're not sure if they should say anything or
exactly,
not. But they're just like
because then they're like, oh, am I going to be offensive to the British people by like being offended by the word cunt? It's a really funny like dance. It's really good.
That sounds
and you're like, yes. say it.
That sounds like a fun party trick.
Yeah, it's good.
I like that.
Well, this article that you're mentioning that you wrote for the TNR.
Right.
Okay.
It's kind of like what basically in like response to Samantha Bee calling Ivanka Trump a feckless cunt, because she is a feckless cunt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sort of like how it goes back to Middle English, basically, where it had kind of like a beautiful meaning.
Yeah. I was really struck by people, you know, and obviously these people on the right instrumentalizing this news story in order to gain leverage and then do with that leverage what, you know, their satanic will. But I was really struck by those people on the right calling it a slur.
Yeah.
Which, like,
that's interesting.
It's really not. You know, like, a slur is a word that has been removed from our vocabulary, you know, like, forcibly, and norms have been created to prevent people saying it because it, like, enacts harm upon a vulnerable population, right?
It's oppressive.
Exactly.
It's a weaponized word.
Right, exactly. Like, cunt has never been used to, you know, like, literally control women in society. It's
Right, we have other mechanisms for that.
There are other
many other ways.
We had laws for that. Yeah. we have gender. We have gender.
We don't need
the word cunt. Exactly, exactly. Furthermore, you know, like, women are 50% or whatever, a bit more of the population of the world. Like, the vocabulary around, like, slurs, reclamation, the way that, like, we describe, you know, the way that we discuss racial epithets, like, there's really not a comparable situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you accept that and then you think about, like, the long history of cunt in English, it's, yeah, it's kind of like a magical, beautiful word. The oldest recorded, as in kind of, like, written down usage, is as a place name. So I used to live in a town in England that has a street called Magpie Lane. My mate Rima lived on that street, and I remember going to see her and her being like, I have just found out the most amazing thing, which is that the street used to be called Grope Cunt Lane.
Oh my God.
There's actually a few different Grope Cunt Lanes
That's
around the
nice.
UK. It's so
Love
nice.
That.
But it was just like where sex workers congregated and where people would go to just like, you know, conduct business or
grope
whatever.
A cunt.
And like,
grope a cunt.
You know
it's
what?
So
you want
desired.
A grope a cunt? Come over to, you
grope
know,
cunt lane.
Grope Cunt Lane. Exactly.
We got our own. It's right here.
And the Trumps should love that.
Exactly. Wow. I could have had that home a bit harder. But
well,
yeah,
you know.
Kids are great.
Part two.
I just love it. Imagine someone walking down the street and be like, anyone know where I can grope a cunt? Mm-hmm. And then like, oh, just over like, that. Turn, yeah, make a left. Yeah.
Grope cunt lane.
It's down the street to the right.
They also have a really great bakery, by the way.
While you're over
get
there.
A
great croissant on grope cunt lane. I love that.
So I think you were gesturing towards its use in Chaucerian English. I mean, there were quite a lot of middle
a
English.
A man who is never bad to women.
Well, I used to be a medievalist. This was like my job. So I'm like very strongly allied with like Chaucer against all of the contemporary world, if that makes sense.
Right.
I'm like, I'm on fucking Jeff's side.
You're on Chaucer's team.
If we have to pick sides, I'm like, I'm with fucking Chaucer. But
I mean, I think it's bold of you.
I like that. I think that's
but
nice.
But he often used the word, so the way that it is written in Middle English and probably pronounced different ways, but the way it's written down is often kind of like Q-U-E-Y-N-T-E, something like that. So it looks like quaint, like our contemporary word quaint, probably pronounced something a bit more like cunt. But Chaucer used a pun that uses an adjective, which in Middle English means something like beautiful, delicate, often kind of old, valuable. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, he would describe like a beautiful old ring as this word. But then he exploits the punning potential between the word cunt and the idea of something kind of like, which is obviously something earthy and basic and kind of, you know, semi-universal, with the idea of something like super fancy and expensive. And it's extremely funny.
I enjoy that.
I also love like thinking back to my lit classes in college, like reading Canterbury Tales and like definitely like reading your article. I was like, oh yeah, I have come across that word a lot.
Yeah.
He also has that great, what does he call, I think it's in like, the Miller's Wife is the one, no, what's, it's the...
The Miller's Tale is one of the, yeah, like the really nasty ones.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's like, her like bottom's eye is like the way that he describes someone's vagina at one point.
That's nice.
That's what how That's I describe it.
That's what it is. That's what it is, honestly.
It's the eye down there. the reason we're talking about this word to begin with is not just because it's very fun, but yeah, Sam B. called Ivanka a feckless cunt because of, she wouldn't take a stand against her father's immigration policies, I believe.
It was basically she like posted a very like sentimental photo of herself holding her own child in the midst of this news storm about how like we are basically keeping babies in cages on the border.
Ivanka Trump, who works at the White House, chose to post the second most oblivious tweet we've seen this week. You know, Ivanka, that's a beautiful photo of you and your child, but let me just say, one mother to another, do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c-. He listens to you. Put on something tight and low cut and tell your father to f***ing stop it. Tell him it was an Obama thing and see how it goes, okay? We'll be right back.
The juxtaposition was very upsetting, understandably.
Yeah, and it, I mean, I think it's a great comparison to draw. The word feckless is sort of interesting. It is sort of the opposite of effectful, right? It's like effectless, but then through the influence, particularly of Carlyle, who was a poet, the word feckless became a word. It means like you absolute useless cunt.
I love linguistics.
Me too. I also love linguistics. For a brief moment, I thought I would study it.
Ooh. If you,
I did not.
You know, in Italian, like the opposite of calling someone efficient is like deficient.
Ooh,
but in
like
Italian,
that.
Like if you wanted to call someone dumb, you would be like deficiente, which just means like
great.
You're useless.
I mean, most things that are bad are useless, if we're going to be honest. So I think that works.
That's true.
That.
And then the next week, she apologized. And to her credit, like, her apology was, like, not an apology. Mm-hmm. Her apology was, like, apologizing to, like, if you're a woman and this word has been used against you in an ugly way, like, I'm sorry that I stoked that pain.
That's right.
I don't want to inflict more pain on them. I want this show to be challenging, and I want it to be honest, but I never intended it to hurt anyone except Ted Cruz. Many men were also offended by my use of the word. I do not care about that. I hate that this distracted from more important issues. I hate that I did something to contribute to the nightmare of 24-hour news cycles that we're all white-knuckling through. I should have known that a potty-mouthed insult would be inherently more interesting to them than juvenile immigration policy. I would do anything to help those kids. I hate that this distracted from them, so to them, I am also sorry. And look, if you are worried about the death of civility, don't sweat it. I'm a comedian. People who hone their voices in basement bars while yelling back at drunk hecklers are definitely not paragons of civility. I am. I'm really sorry that I said that word, but you know what? Civility is just nice words. Maybe we should all worry a little bit more about the niceness of our actions.
And another thing that I found so funny is the second half of that joke is like an incest joke. She basically is like, you're a feckless cunt, put on a low-cut top and go talk to your dad.
That's right.
And it's just like, what people are like grabbing onto is the word cunt, but it's like, they're also saying that like, She has a somewhat sexual relationship with her father.
Her dad's trying to fuck her, so.
And that she's willing to exploit that.
Right.
And so I was just like, that to me just proves how empty the right's anger is about it. Where it's like, you're going to like latch onto this instead of like the arguably much more offensive part.
Or like the much more taboo, the much more like,
I mean, I would rather be called a cunt than have someone be like, Your dad is sexually interested in you.
I would much rather. Please, you can call me a cunt every
happy
day.
Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Father's Day.
Go fuck your dad for policy changes. Yeah,
yeah, I would much rather be called a cunt.
It's absolutely, like, it's void, it's empty. It's just an exploitation of, like, the mechanisms that drive a news story now.
And,
and affect change, right? Like, this is actually how it works these days. Yeah. This is how people get fired. This is how people lose their jobs, like, and get canceled for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's soulless, it's depressing. And I think that's why, it's why I wanted to write about it, is that it takes this really like rich and evocative word, which, you know, beloved by cunts and those who love cunts. And it carries so much kind of intangible culture and interesting politics inside it. And then to exploit some completely fake sense of its meaning for such hollow purposes.
So it's cynical.
Just like, but it's like specifically depressing in this instance because of the very richness and like also the kind of like nihilistic joy of the word cunt, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like it's a kind of inverting its nihilism into something like just fucking boring.
God, that's so right. How dare they make cunt boring?
How dare they?
So, like, what people are comparing it to.
Yeah. Is this situation. Roseanne.
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr. She, as we all know, or do not know, or do not care to know, but whatever, there was a revival of her dumb show, Roseanne. It was canceled because she tweeted, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ. VJ was referring to a former Obama administration advisor, Valerie Jarrett. That's really fucked up.
Yeah, there is a huge difference between saying a black person looks like an ape and calling a feckless cunt a feckless cunt.
Right.
Absolutely. And it goes back to that distinction between what is a slur and what isn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all racial epithets or concepts which play into deeply ingrained racist stereotyping, for example, comparing black people to apes, right? Like, there's just absolutely no way that that isn't part of, like, an effective, widespread instrumentalization of an idea into controlling people, right? Like, it cannot be.
right. You're saying that something's subhuman.
Exactly. And it has such a long history. It's like, there is, like, zero positive history to it, you know? Like, it just exists in a totally separate conceptual category to cunt. It's the right acting like they think the left behaves, right? That they think that, like, race and gender are these interchangeable categories that, like, people just love to get mad about. You know, like, the idea that, like, feminists and anti-racists and, I don't know, class-conscious people are all somehow just doing the same thinking all the time. And it's like, actually, dickhead. Like, that's not what it is.
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Michelle Wolf at the correspondence dinner.
Right.
When she referred to Sarah Huckabee Sanders as Aunt Lydia.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it.
Everybody took it as a comparison to Ann Dowd, who won. Sarah Huckabee Sanders should be so lucky.
Let's not be rude to Ann. I mean,
but they're,
God,
like, it's
a treasure.
They're like, she's calling her ugly and fat. And it's like,
old,
no, what you're doing is you're calling this actress ugly and fat.
Yeah.
What she's saying is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is, like, a tool of the patriarchy that is used to, like, oppress people.
Right.
But they just, like, want to, like, make everything so simple to the point of being meaningless, where it's like, well, if you're going to be mad about that, then we get to be mad about this. And it's just, apples and oranges are like really racist apples. Mm-hmm. And regular oranges.
Regular, just a nice orange, yeah. This whole Roseanne situation happened. Everyone got very mad on many sides, and then Roseanne blamed Ambien.
Which I love, because Ambien then responded where they're like, racism is not a side effect.
Yeah.
But then Roseanne got canceled like really quickly.
Pretty quickly. They're still shopping around
A spinoff
with Darlene.
I do think the Ambien explanation is very, very interesting, right? Mm. Because she's saying this drug lowered my inhibitions.
Yeah.
Which is to say, okay, my festering racism was just below the
just
surface.
Simmering
before.
Below the, right.
And I'm so sorry that it just like popped up and you all saw it. Let me put it away again. Which is really interesting because on the one hand, she's kind of acknowledging it in a way and being like, okay, I actually do know how to act nowadays, but it's also just like a total admission.
She's still a monster.
Right. A racist cunt.
And she's also been racist for quite some time.
Yeah, like, this is not a new... Her racism is not like a newly discovered fact.
I think one of our editors, Katie McDonough, made a joke that was just like, oh, so you've been on Ambien for the past 15 years?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Like, you've been racist for more than a decade? Cool. That's amazing.
But she's also just been on such an insane downward spiral where
Roseanne.
It's just like, she kind of had this like very revolutionary show.
Like then, 20 years ago.
Then she had a show about nuts. She had a show about nut farming.
What?
Excuse me?
I have the best nuts in the world. I know it sounds goofy, but it's true.
I have tried my mother's nuts. My mother's nuts are wonderful, one of a kind.
Roseanne's Nuts. Coming this July, only on Lifetime.
And then it was like, Roseanne is back, baby.
Right.
And back from the nuts.
Back from the
back
nuts.
From the nuts, but still just as nutty.
Okay. Thank you for that. That was good. So there have been, so this is perhaps the first time in sort of recent memory that cunt has had such a shining moment. Sam B used the word cunt in 2016. She gave Jake Tapper the inaugural Thunder Cunt Award.
We only watch cable news where, believe it or not, we found a hero who has risen from the aimless post-apocalyptic landscape of Trump coverage.
Well, they warned everyone. They said if more of you voted for Hillary Clinton, Goldman Sachs would end up running the country. The lead starts right now.
Damn, Jake, who put a nickel in you? And the internet called me a thunder cunt. So, Jake Tapper, for making cable news bearable, may I present you with our first, and hopefully not last, full frontal thunder cunt award.
The one that I think when we discussed having this episode is from 2013, when The Onion tweeted, Kvonjane Wallace is kind of a cunt, right? During the 2013 Oscar ceremony.
I do remember that.
And they apologized swiftly.
I mean, that is one of those things where, like, that is where that Venn diagram crosses of, like, race and sexism, where it's, like, I remember, like, when they tweeted that, it was, she was there for Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yes.
And she's this, like, very, very cute, tiny little girl. And the joke, of course, is, like,
there's
this
no,
cute, tiny little girl, like, you can't, like, call a tiny little girl a cunt.
Right.
I do see what they were shooting for, but unfortunately, when it's a child, it's all a bit different, isn't it?
Does get also, like, when a little, a little jumbly when it's a kid.
When you think of how, like, black girls have been, like, sexualized from really young ages, and, like,
that's
when,
true.
You know, like, there's just, like, a lot more history than, like, say, if it was, like, Elle Fanning or something.
That's
which
true.
I think, like, it's still people still probably would have been like, ah, but like it is a different situation where it's like the way that we demean black women from infancy.
Right.
Like, and obviously the person who tweeted that, I don't think was thinking that, but it's also like, oh, you didn't think that, you
right.
know?
Exactly.
So that was like one of those things that was just like, ooh.
Yeah, that was that was real. That was special. Apparently, also, there's a film called Kick-Ass, which features an 11-year-old.
I don't know.
I've never fucking heard of this movie. I believe that it exists. 11-year-old Chloe Grace Moritz says, okay, you cunts, let's see what you can do.
Okay, you cunts. Let's see what you can do now. Eeny, meeny. Miney. Mo.
People were angry about that because she's 11.
There's two Kick-Asses.
There's a second one?
Kick-Ass 1 and 2.
Do they ever eventually kick ass and, like, have to stop? Like, are they done?
I mean, I think Kick-Ass is, like, the name of superhero.
Interesting.
I think.
No, I believe that. And apparently the director, Matthew Vaughn, said it's more astonishing that people talk about that, the cunt word, than about a young girl who kills people. So it's just this word is still like everyone is – I don't know if we'll ever stop being aggrieved about the usage of this word. What are your thoughts?
The other thing that really always strikes me when I think about this is you know, the many witnesses that report John McCain calling his wife a cunt.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
this?
Cindy. Right.
Cindy, when she, like, so this isn't on tape, but there were, like, multiple reporters present for this. And so it's been written in a few books, and I think he's done some, like, half-hearted legal poking. But the story goes that, like, Cindy was poking his hair and being like, oh, getting a bit thin up top, whatever. And then he says, at least I don't plaster the makeup on like a trollop, you cunt. It's so good just because,
oh my
like,
God.
Trollop.
Trollop is
Excuse
a nice
me.
One. Like, hello, sir. Where'd you pull that from,
I
buddy?
I know. It's like Charles
Impressed.
Dickens, like,
yes.
walking yeah. in and being like.
It's like where you would go down to Grope Cunt.
You go to Grope Cunt Lane,
for
select a trollop or two, and then move on.
Exactly. It's just like, and that, I think, is a really good example of someone using it in a. It's literally not even implicitly sexist. He's just like,
no, he's just being
a negative stereotype about your appearance related
yeah,
to your gender.
You dumb
and,
whore.
You can't. Yeah.
Right.
It's such a beautiful story because, you know, he's a very powerful man being threatened in this minor way by his, you know, like, supportive wife, and then just him coming out with this, like, risible insult.
Yeah. That's...
I love it. And I think it expresses so much about what cunt means for
the Also, I feel like
right.
Sidney McCain should be so lucky as to look as soulful as a cunt.
Or a trollop.
I mean, let's
that
start
woman is
there.
Far too dead inside to like really have that kind of life.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just the fact that he used the word trollop is just really, I love that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I think this example is kind of interesting. There was a 30 Rock episode called The C Word. Someone calls Liz Lemon a cunt. She flips out.
It's a very good episode.
I'm doing my job, and she just shoots me down in front of everybody. I don't care if she's the boss. Liz is a grade A.
Runt! This kitten, he's such a runt!
Apparently, it was drawn from real life experience. In real life, Colin Quinn called her a cunt, Tina Fey. And in Bossy Pants, she basically says that she said, no, you don't get to call me that. My parents love me, and I'm not the child of alcoholics who take that shit. Let's just
what
sit
the
with.
Fuck?
Let's just it's sit
like,
with that for
like
a moment.
Very,
let's just marinate in that briefly.
My parents love me, so I'm not a cunt.
Yeah, and I am.
That is,
and I am
like,
not the child of alcoholics.
That is sort of Tina Fey's Achilles heel.
It's like being and, shitty.
But she's kind of a cunt.
Yeah, she's kind
yeah,
of fucking
she
cunt.
She is a cunt. She does that a lot, where it's like, it'll be like, I come from a supportive background, so that's why, like, you know, like I wasn't a stripper.
Yeah.
So I was XYZ.
Yeah, like, my parents are still together and they love me. So, like, I'm whatever.
That book is so weird.
It is weird.
Do you remember the bit? I actually read it a couple of times. I remember the section being like, what the fuck? She's talking about how cool her dad is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know exactly
and
what
you're
going
to
say.
And then she talks about, and she's like, he's so cool that even black people think he's cool.
What?
But it was like he confronted a black kid who stole our bike.
Oh.
No, there's a bit where he talks about him. He's walking across a parking lot and then the story goes that two black men walk towards him, but then instead of robbing him, they're like, nice outfit or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck are you thinking?
It's a miracle that shit made it into the book. I mean, when was it? I want to say it was a different time, but it really wasn't that fucking long ago. And Tina Fey has always had like a weird race thing.
Yeah.
I have like such a complicated relationship with her, and that I do think that she is like a genius, and I think she is so funny, and then she'll do something and she's like, your fave is problematic.
Tina Fey.
I got an
it's the other Woody Allen.
That's what we call her.
That's what we call her.
But there is something in that thing about the cunt, right? That she's implying that she has high self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
which means that she won't take it, right?
Yeah. Yep. You can't call me a cunt.
You can't like get me down that way.
Right. Which is a very like strange construal.
You could also like cut off most of that sentence and have it be fine, where it's like, I don't let you fucking call me those
you
things.
You can just say you don't get to call me that, and then there's no need to like justify it.
Yeah, but
with
then
why.
It's just like, you're just gonna be like, because I'm privileged.
Yeah, like I came from an upper middle class home, so that's fine. Like, ridiculous. Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, you can be upper middle class and have alcoholic parents.
Sure. Alcoholic parents exist everywhere. Up, down, around the corner, whatevs. All I'm saying is that she doesn't need to. She makes me very stressed out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She was deeply cunty in her mobilization of her background in her surface of claiming that she's not a cunt.
I agree. Believe me, I'm not defending that cunt. I just mean, like, it's like one of those things where she's someone who I actually could see, like, making an argument for, like, why the word cunt is cool. And then she, like, went the other way.
Yeah. So there, I guess, there's been sort of a feminist reclamation of the word in the 90s, centering in and around the vagina monologues. Mm-hmm. Eve Ensler, God bless her, encourages the audience to use the word. You know, she says, cunt, she's reclaimed it. Everybody else should reclaim it. Say the word a bunch out loud. I assume she is imploring the audience to do this. I guess my question is, do you think we'll ever be able, now that this whole thing with Sam B has happened and the word is, like, it's sort of empty, which is rude of them to do that to a word, do you think that this is, like, break it, like, the word will no longer be taboo?
It's quite difficult for a word to regain its taboo once it loses its taboo.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, it would be very difficult, for example, for, like, bitch to become super, super offensive again.
Right.
I remember in the, again, I feel like this is a very Tina Fey-esque thing in, like, the 90s and early 2000s, people to be like, rappers are so sexist.
Yes.
They call women bitches and hoes and stuff. In that just, like, shrieking white woman pitch that's just of like, it's like gonna, like, burst your eardrums.
And I don't
bitches,
man. Yeah,
and I think that we have really come a long way, I think, in our understanding of how language around gender, it's not I was gonna say black and white, which would be like a clang weirdly with a, like, racial aspect of
it's not
that semantic discussion.
It's not as cut and dry.
It's cut and
like
dry. That's not
we'll do,
yeah,
yes.
Thank you. Right, like, these things, like, semantic range of a word like bitch is, like, incredibly flexible, you know, like, and we understand that.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that even just, like, the flurry of articles after Samantha B. Gay has definitely heightened our cultural awareness of how the word cuntism.
Country is nice. I like that.
Yeah, I think that our understanding will grow. I mean, it'll probably retain a lot of its taboo, I think. You know, America is this monstrously huge country, and our little coastal flap about this is not gonna seep.
No, it's not
deep.
Yeah, it's not really probably gonna penetrate.
It's not gonna reach the cunt of the nation. You
correct.
Know?
I mean, we're
it
also,
certainly won't make it there.
No.
Like, as a country, we're becoming more conservative, not less.
That's true.
So it's like, I can see, like, more of this, like, bullshit from the right of being like, I don't know. That's my impression of the right.
That's good.
I love that.
That is nice.
But also, like, can you say, like, will a reclamation happen? Like,
well, you can't predict it.
No, what I'm saying, we reclaim it. That's what you do.
Well, that,
like,
is true.
You know, you make a reclamation happen.
Right.
It's not something that, like, culture decides. It's something that a subculture decides. And then it trickles down to wider culture. And
I think that's true. At the same time, I think the kind of vagina monologues approach of a kind of, like, universal reclamation, like, we're all going to say this and we're all going to mean the same thing, is kind of not the way that, like, we think about, like, verbal reclamation now. I think that now we have more of an understanding about how our feminism kind of inflects for every individual in different ways, right? So
right.
that we all mean different things when we use certain words.
Right.
So it's never going to be a blanket reclamation, but I think that, you know, like, maybe we and the people we know will, like, go forward in life saying cunt, like, maybe 10% more.
Right.
And that will be
something. Yeah, it's a little step.
It's a little sunshine.
It's a little baby step, right, in a direction, which
I mean,
is all anyone can ask
look,
for.
Look, cunt. This is my podcast.
I love it. Can I?
Please.
Inject one more idea? So this is something that I didn't write about, and I feel like somebody should have, is how, like, cuntiness, calling someone cunty, is, like, definitely also, like, a drag thing. Or,
yes.
like, a part of, like, the
yes.
Drag
the, like, drag, like,
vocab.
Parlance. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And which is, like, there's so much
around, oh, my God.
Like, ball culture and kind of more like mainstream drag that has like seeped back into the mega mainstream through
like drag entertainment. Race, right.
Exactly. I just wanted to bring it up, and I feel like we need to like give a lot of credit to
certain subcultures.
Right, exactly. Like queer trans, like performing communities for just like really keeping the flame of cunt alive the heart beating in our culture.
I think too, when you get into like these discussions of language, and it gets hard because it's like, okay, so like we can like kind of connect this to ball culture, mm-hmm. and then we can sort of like connect that back to just like Black women culture, and then it just like it's just this, it's kind of this never ending thing. Although I don't know if like the word cunt you can like connect. I'm not trying to say that.
No,
but it's just, there's no like single origin of anything in language or in culture, right?
Right. But, like, all we know is like white people didn't do it.
The very essence of the word cunt and indeed the concept is that it cannot be owned, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's merely
girl. Okay.
It's not a proprietary concept or thing.
And that is reclamation right there.
Sure is.
We did it. We did it.
Thank you so much. You were a delight. I can't believe you faked that accent for the entire show.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Joe Livingstone. This episode was produced by Levi Sharp and Rachel Withers and was mixed by Jamie Collazo. Majina Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. Want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think? Hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. You can find us on Spotify, NPR One, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.